All right, we're back on the Fan Morning Show. Sportsnet 590, the Fan. Blue Jays with a big win last night. Kikuchi making things right here in Toronto. We're back, baby.
Just
we're
like
back.
That. Six strong.
That's it.
Everything's
That's
okay.
That's all you needed. They're back in action today at noon, folks. Noon. So don't bother going to work. Free pass from Justin and I say.
Or just get that Sportsnet Now fired up.
Yeah, but just go, just
it's
enjoy
not like you
your
go to
life.
The ballpark.
Yeah, it's true. Kevin Gausman on the mound. Alcantara on the other side.
It's quite the pitching
Big
matchup.
Big pitching matchup today. That starts at noon. Don't forget. We've got some more of our Twins to quickly shout out. This one absolutely made me laugh out loud. Brandon and Tottenham, who we've been chatting with already a couple times. Even worse, I'm Brandon. Wife's Brittany. Oldest son is Braylon. Twins are Braxton and Brody. He goes, we're psychos. I'm glad you said it because
yeah,
you are psychos.
You jammed yourselves up with that.
Big but, I mean, B if, family.
Big B R family.
Braxton, Brody, Braden, Brittany, Brandon, Braylon. There's no way they ran the gauntlet of BERs. Yeah. Brett. I mean, oh, they're missing Brett.
Well, maybe there's room for a Brett.
We've got Clay from Burlington. Says got twins named Sean and Scott, and they're a handful. Not as close. We also have...
In the ballpark.
Kyle in Hamilton says, I have twin six-year-old girls. My wife's a twin, and her older sister had twins.
I'm telling you.
That
it's,
gene
it's
is...
It's like a genetic thing.
That's a heavy gene. It's a strong gene.
You got to do like a whole family sort of analysis before you... Like, if you only want one, you got to be doing some testing.
But you remember in grade 11?
Reaching out to ancestors and second cousins across the world.
Do you remember in grade 11 when you did that genetics... part of a bio class where you learned about...
I definitely do not.
The way that genes...
Reminder, we went to different schools, Ailish.
You didn't figure out how to do genetics?
I mean, I'm sure it was part of it, but it was, you know, like a chapter I may have not read for homework.
I wonder you went to Western.
Did you learn? What did you learn?
Well, things are like... You do learn how to do this chart, right? Things that are genetic, like if your earlobes are attached or
put
not.
You on the spot a little here.
If your earlobes are attached or not, that's
right.
Genetic. If you have
it's
hair on
checklist.
Your knuckles, it's genetic.
Okay.
Like how it goes from if you have blue eyes or not blue eyes, right? Anyway.
The old double helix.
We're still working on getting John Morosi, but we were just reading everybody's text. So Blue Jays today.
Yeah, we can rehash our Blue Jays discussion a little bit from earlier on. I mean, you say Kikuchi with a big outing, but mm-hmm. I mean, still what like really, really, really is glaring and something that's unavoidable at this point is the performance of the lineup and the offense and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Matt Chapman and George Springer had a moment last night, but still overall, I mean, this lineup is struggling and needs to find something itself in order for us to really, really feel comfortable about where they're going. I mean, yeah, they've had these pockets of pitching, and that should be expected, though, because mm-hmm. they have one of the most, it has been the healthiest. I mean, the problem has not been health. The problem has been performance with at least one of their pitchers. But every day, you can count on who's going up next, with the exception of Alek Manoah. Kikuchi, Bassett, Gausman, Berríos have been unflinchingly available. And they are talented. They're one of the best. They make up one of the best rotations in the American League and in baseball, and they've been very, very reliable. But to put it all together, that offense has got to get going. It's got to be more than Bo Bichette. It's got to be more than, hey, a guy like Danny Jansen stepping up at the bottom of the lineup, Kevin Kiermaier, maybe for a moment, overshooting expectations in a big way. Like, it's got to come together and be more than just a couple individual performance standing out and getting them through some rough patches. For this team to reach this potential, we need to see a lot more than we saw last night, even if it did result in a win.
So since the 20-run game versus the Rays, Blue Jays ranked fourth last in the majors in runs behind Kansas, ahead of Kansas City, St. Louis, and Oakland. So they're about to play Oakland this weekend. And I know that Oakland has been, was on track to be one of the worst teams ever to get on the baseball field. They had a little bit of a hot stretch there. But I think, like, today, if you can get a win today, you win the series, you have an off day tomorrow. I think that the biggest thing around this team, other than not hitting and all the other issues, is, like, it just doesn't look like they're enjoying baseball right now. And it makes sense. They just got blown out, and they had an awful come from behind win or loss. And so maybe it's just like, get this win. You have Kevin Gausman on the mound, which is a huge point of confidence. You have an off day, and then you're back home, and you are playing Oakland. And I'm not saying that there's an easy part of the schedule, but Oakland, maybe you feel like a level of confidence going in that you didn't have previously over the last three series. You've lost three in a row in terms of series. You got Oakland at home. You haven't been home in a while. I think things can really start to turn for the Blue Jays in a positive direction if you believe in momentum, and that just really starts from today, capitalizing on what happened yesterday. Bring some good vibes home. It's not. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, and just because it's Oakland doesn't mean it can't be something to build on. I mean, it could be. It could go the other way more drastically.
That's the scary
part. Not that one win is worth more than a different win, but maybe one loss or a string of losses or a pair of losses can be worse than a loss to, let's say, I mean, it would be worse against the Tampa Bay Rays because it's in the division. Not that you're chasing the division really anymore, but you get my point. Like, no, not every loss or win is equal, mm-hmm. but in this case, I think the losses would mean more than a win would mean. Like, yeah. If you get clowned by the Oakland Athletics, despite their little renaissance here in season, it's going to feel a lot worse because it's going to be another slap in the face after a string of slaps in the face. So, but it's not like, yeah, it's like a no-win situation. It's not like you have to take care of business, yep, or else. But it's an opportunity to get going, but it's also potentially some repercussions staring you at the face if you can't get it together before you host Oakland across a three-game stretch with a rest day preceding it. I mean, that is, yeah, the perfect scenario.
And a rest day after it, too, which is outstanding.
I mean, there is no excuses to not have a good weekend, right?
That's right.
And for that reason, like, it's a little bit scary because this team isn't in great form right now, but they have one more opportunity in a big game, a high profile mm-hmm. game. I mean, a lot of general baseball fans will tune into Gausman versus Alcantara. Like, that is a tasty, tasty pitching matchup in the middle of the day when there is less to combat with in terms of, a bunch of games on at the same time. So every game's important right now. When you slip below 50% in terms of the probability to get into the playoffs, when you're in chase mode, not only in the division, but in the wild card race, when other teams have solidified themselves as elite or very good and they're ahead of you, like, there's not really much room for error right now. And it does seem, with the Schneider discussion, with the Vladdy discussion, that things are sort of tenuous right now. And just some quality play, some quality at bats, some wins would do wonders for this team. But I do wonder about the flip side and how devastating it would be if your fourth consecutive loss in a series is against the Oakland Athletics.
I mean, it's certainly just a matter of perspective when you look at where this team is. They're one game back of a wild card spot, right? But it doesn't feel like that's the temperature around this team as of late. And it's easy to get bogged down by the slog fest they kind of went through. They just played 30 games in 31 days. They didn't come out with a favorable record that we had predicted. Then they lost three series in a row, and they had not just losses, embarrassing losses. Like, the Sunday to Monday back-to-back game might have been some of the worst two-game sample sizes, maybe not the wild card series, that we've seen in a long time from this Blue Jays team.
Right.
Feels like they just can't get anything going. But you present a good argument about this weekend. You got the Athletics, and then you've got the Giants, who we were reminded were on a 8-game winning streak before yesterday. Then the Red Sox, and the Red Sox a while ago were completely out of the picture. I don't know what happened to them, but they're now half a game back of the Blue Jays, right? They've turned it on. They swept the Yankees. The Yankees are fumbling a bit. Now the Red Sox, you have to worry about right behind you. So I think there is so much opportunity to build on a Oakland win, a Giants win, a Red Sox win. We could be coming back here on the radio next, right after July 1st, and it could be a completely different feeling around this team.
Yeah, that feels like that's going to be the story of the Blue Jays season. I mean, I think we're going to be kind of riding that roller coaster because they haven't been able to solidify themselves as one thing either way. Mm. They've shown weaknesses, they've shown strengths, and they sort of toggle back and forth between those things. And maybe the inconsistency is what's put the spotlight so brightly and so intensely on a guy like John Schneider in his first full year at the helm. I mean, a lot of people are talking about John Schneider. A lot of people are talking about his performance. A lot of people are talking about Don Mattingly waiting in the wings.
Yeah, I want to ask about that,
like,
with you.
This, and I wanted, I think we should discuss it now because, like, the Mattingly thing in particular, okay, you bring him on for a reason. Whatever that reason may be, not really sure exactly what they were trying to accomplish other than, hey, this is a smart baseball person. Let's add him to our bench. Let's get him into the ears of Bo Bichette, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., et cetera, et cetera. I mean, that all makes sense from a process standpoint. But if it was like, hey, John Schneider is new at this. John Schneider, although he has been around, hasn't been in a major league dugout or running a major league dugout for so long. So let's get him some support. Or maybe it's as far as, hey, if things don't work out, we have someone to fall back on. But like to discern or to like to look at these two guys as like clear individuals where one could fix the other or one would be this without the other, or you would see market improvement if you had Mattingly in charge and Schneider not around. Like, I don't know how you draw that conclusion, because why would Mattingly, if there was any fix for anything, be withholding it right now? Like, if Don Mattingly had a fix.
That's the funny thing. Do you think he just knows the secret recipe and he's waiting for his chance to pounce on an opportunity?
That is so silly.
I know.
It's just ridiculous.
But people are quick to, it's the same with when Keith and the Maple Leafs went on that road trip last year to the West Coast, and they came back and we thought, honestly, that he was not going to be an employee of the Maple Leafs any longer, because it's just like, it's the knee-jerk thing. And there's certainly, like, I'm not saying John Schneider has no blame in this. Like, you do need to get the best out of your players, but there's only so much you can do. You put them in a position to succeed. They are the ones performing, right? It's like with the core four. If they're not performing, you can only tweak the lineup so many times. You can only go kick garbage cans in the locker room so many times. I always put more blame on the players than I do on the coaching staff. And I think that that's fair with John Schneider. There's certainly more he can do. I think there's been questionable decisions with the bullpen. There's been questionable decisions with the lineup and why you're so steadfast on some things and so quick to flip the script on other things. But in the end, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. needs to perform better. So does Matt Chapman, George Springer as well. Like, you can start to go down the list of players, and John Schneider can only do so much to put them in a position to succeed.
Yeah, I mean, there's only like a couple things that would really scream to me that a change needs to be made. And even still, like, if Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is performing poorly because, let's say, he hates John Schneider.
Well, that's
like,
different.
I still don't buy it, though. Like, why would he openly put himself in a position where he may earn considerably less money because he has a chip on his shoulder because he doesn't necessarily jive with the manager? Like, that just doesn't make sense to me. Like, I don't think these are as connected as people are making them out to be. I will say, though, like, it's an interesting case study in fan bases, because I feel like Leaf fans are really tribalistic in the regular season. It changes a little bit in the playoffs, but like, they refuse, many of them refuse, maybe the loudest ones refuse to blame the players. And I think we're seeing a little of that with the Blue Jays with this John Schneider conversation. But I do think that the fan base is less in that realm, or at least the ones that I'm seeing, where they are okay with calling out Vladdy, because how could you not be? They're okay with being critical of the players on this team, more so than I think Leaf fans are. And yet still, a lot of this conversation is around John Schneider. I do think it's the low-hanging fruit, because that's the only thing you can really do. Like, if you're looking for someone to blame, it could be Ross Atkins. It could be John Schneider.
Yeah.
It could be the players. But I think all things are true, where maybe John Schneider is not the best manager in the world. Ross Atkins clearly hasn't put the best team in the world on the field. And clearly these players are underperforming. I mean, it's the easiest sport in the world to look at performance from one year to the next and be like, oh, they're not as good as they were last year. I think all these things are true. And for whatever reason, Schneider's getting a lot of it. And for whatever reason, it's a little bit more dispersed with baseball than it is with other sports here in this city.
Interesting question in the text line that I was going to bring up for something to chew on, but we can bring it up now. How do you guys feel about Vladdy still leading in all-star ballots considering his struggles at the plate? And so the Blue Jays are, and I know the Canadian twist is like so fired up in the States. Like, any American baseball fan is quick to point out that, yes, the Toronto Blue Jays are the only team in Canada, and they think that that somehow is unfair or
I mean,
against
it is
the rules.
Bit.
Yeah, but that's, so then put another team in Canada.
It also is.
Like,
yeah,
sorry.
Why not?
Would you want us to move back to Dunedin and Buffalo? No, thank you.
They set it up to be a popularity contest, and it is. It is. If Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is leading, then it's more of a popularity contest than something born on merit.
Vladdy, Bo, and Matt Chapman remain the top vote getters after the second round of fan voting. So now's an update. Bo's more than 700,000 votes ahead of Corey Seager.
Which is fine. Vladdy, although Corey Seager's been brilliant.
Yeah, Vladdy is only 70,000 votes clear of Yandy Diaz. And Chapman is 50,000 votes over Josh Jung of the Texas Rangers, who we just saw.
Wouldn't you feel a little like sheepish as a Blue Jays fan if the All-Star game rolls around and the entire infield, with the exception of Whit Merrifield, who's, I think,
second,
there's an injury and it's like, okay, Whit, the entire infield for a team that's sixth or seventh best in the American League is dominating the All-Star game. Like, it's
but
a little...
They could literally have, you mentioned, Whit Merrifield's in second, like trailing Marcus Semien. So basically, a former, you got a little Blue Jay in you. Brandon Belt also ranking second behind Shohei, but he's never going to pass him. But
still,
it could be the Blue Jays All-Star weekend.
I know, and I think there's reason to be upset with that if you're a fan of baseball and you're not a fan of the Blue Jays. Even as a Blue Jays fan,
just vote more.
No, but I'm like, what, like I don't know. I'm not. That's not something I'm going to be like pumping my chest proud about when we vote these guys in as a nation and they don't deserve it. Like, that just,
maybe
there's going
to
be complaints.
Go.
It's not going to be good. It's going to be a toxic situation. I don't
maybe
know why
he needs
anyone
to go
would want that.
And that changes him. He goes and he's got a.
Well, you can fix your. Or you can ruin your swing at a home run derby.
Maybe
you
can
fix your
it.
Swing.
I don't know if he's going to be in the home run derby, but he could be an all-star, and maybe he just gets there and he's around all these superstars.
You know, Vladdy wants to be at the all-star game.
Who doesn't? Oh, well, actually, some people like
NHL
don't
players.
Love it. Yeah. Brandon here in the text line says, not just Jays fans, all Toronto sports fans refuse to blame the players. I wonder. Raptors related, though, we see a lot of Raptors player hate. Like, Scottie Barnes is not a superstar. He was rookie of the year and he fell off. Pascal's not clutch. Pascal can never lead this team. Pascal is never going to be the face of this franchise moving forward. Fred's old. Trade Fred. Like, we see this all the time.
Yeah.
But Nick Nurse got fired and now we have a new coach, so it might be more player related.
People
are going to complain about.
People turned on Nick, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And people are critical of the Raptors. I think when times are good with the Raptors, it's like a complete love fest and no one can ever be critical.
That's true.
But the Raptors have looked at a different reality recently, and maybe that's brought a little bit more perspective.
Which team do you think has the highest highs and the lowest lows? The Leafs?
I would say so.
Nodding.
But yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's harder to find the middle ground with them.
I think Blue Jays fans are more realistic than the other two.
Yeah. Maybe.
Like
Raptors fans are just always,
like,
always
there's
upset.
Been times where people were out for Bo. It's all reflective of performance. Vladdy is taking a lot of heat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no one's just like sugarcoating the Vladdy situation right now. And again, like, it depends on what your purview is, I guess. If you're on Twitter all the time or you're at a bar talking to people or whatever, you're just in your own group chat or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels like people are a little bit more realistic with what happens with the Blue Jays.
I think it's close between which Twitter fandom is the worst, though, in terms of getting really, really down negative, Leafs and Raptors.
Really?
Yeah. You got to get in the Raptors Twitter feed.
Yeah, maybe I'm a little bit more connected to the Leafs.
But the Leafs ones are not usually super positive.
Well, I think the Leafs is overly positive. We saw a switch here with the Leafs Twitter just since the end of the season. Like, everyone is now in defense mode of the... It went from, we have to break up the core four, to, you're an idiot if you suggest that anyone is traded from this team. Like, it went really fast. It's only that pocket. It's like 2 weeks after they lose and their performance during the playoffs where people actually look at everyone realistically. And then they lose it again where they think they're the best team, they have the best players, and there's no way change should be made. I think a lot of Leaf fans are still clinging to, you know what, Dubas left, and maybe we shouldn't trade any of these four players because you'll never get anyone back who's comparable. When in reality, we've just seen it over and over again that this, for whatever reason, is not working. Like, you just saw Vegas do what Vegas did.
Mm-hmm.
You just saw the hard decisions that they had to make. You've seen lots of teams go through makeovers and go and get to the point where hard decisions have gotten them further. But here we are really, and even the same thing with Dubas, people just wanted him back. People love Kyle Dubas. People love what Kyle Dubas built, and they didn't want to let go of it, management included. I do think there's more of a love affair with the Leafs players than there is the Blue Jays for sure, and probably the Raptors too.
Sounds like we're not getting John Morosi, as you can tell. It's okay. We'll get him next time. We love the guy. Good text in here from Rick from Stouffville. Yeah, Blue Jays fans should not have to apologize for the way the All-Star voting is set up. We have the brunt of that in the past. So just because it's in our favor this year, we should enjoy it. And Vladdy, as poorly as he's playing, he may go to the All-Star game and be the All-Star MVP. John in Mississauga says, too bad we couldn't vote Manoah into the All-Star game. I think that might actually help.
Did they take him off the ballot? How'd that go?
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
I don't know. I don't think you're going to feel good as a Jays fan if they're out of a playoff spot and Vladdy's like a complete mess and Bo can only do so much and Chapman's been one of the worst hitters in baseball for 2 months if this all continues and they're just trotted out there at the Midsummer Classic. Like, it's going to be a little weird.
The tide is...
And the negative comments and the negativity will be more, will be overwhelming in comparison to like any positive thoughts and pride you have in these guys representing the Blue Jays on that stage.
All right. Well, 590-590, we always take your thoughts, your vibes. We've got a great, great, great guest after the break, Joe Carter. It's the 30th anniversary of the Blue Jays 93 World Series championship this year. And we all know how much of a hand he played in that. We're going to chat with him. We're also going to chat about the 14th annual Joe Carter Classic golf tournament that raises funds for local Toronto charities, which will be next Wednesday. And Justin and Brent Gunning will be hosting that show live from Glen Abbey. I will be in beautiful Nashville covering the NHL entry draft on that same Wednesday. So I will speak with you from Nashville.
Is that the day we're getting you?
I don't know.
We should get you from the Joe Carter Classic.
Whatever works for you guys. You know what? No problem.
No, you know what? Whatever works for you.
I'll have nothing else going on in Nashville. I'll only be working. No play. No fun.
Yeah.
So you want to call me at the 6 a.m. block when it's 5 a.m. in Nashville? I'll do it.
Okay. We'll keep that in mind.
We got Joe Carter after the break. We'll take your 590-590 Wake and Rake picks. We'll do a baby Wake and Rake to wrap up the show. And we'll tee up tomorrow's NBA draft. Joe Carter's next.
The best Blue Jays show out there, period. Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So the tying run is at second. The run that would win the World Series is at first, and Joe Carter is the batter.
Here's the pitch on the way, a swing and a belt. Left field, way back. Blue Jays win it. The Blue Jays are World Series champions as Joe Carter hits a three-run home run in the ninth inning, and the Blue Jays have repeated as World Series champions. Touch them all, Joe. You'll never hit a bigger home run in your life.
It's one of the marquee events of summer in Toronto, the Joe Carter Classic. Wednesday, myself and Brent Gunning will be there, broadcasting live.
Are you golfing it after? You didn't get the invite,
I doubt it.
Hey, if this interview goes well, maybe you will.
When we get free golf, it's because you set it up. Although Gunner's a golf guy, so.
I think you could figure something out there.
There will be a lot of celebrities on hand, including Jose Bautista, Dion Phaneuf, Nazem Kadri, Jayna Heifert, Doug Gilmore.
Dion Phaneuf.
Many expected to be there celebrating 30 years since Joe Carter's home run. And we get to celebrate the occasion by bringing him in this morning. Joe Carter on the line, two-time World Series champion, five-time All-Star, and the host of the Joe Carter Classic. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. How are you guys doing this beautiful morning we're having here everywhere across the country?
We are terrific. We are definitely terrific. 30 years. Is that, can you believe that it's been 30 years almost since you hit that home run, Joe?
30 years, it's very surreal. But, you know, listening to that home run is like, I don't know if you guys like whenever you hear it, you know, I just repeat the words, so I know it word for word when Tom Teague is saying it. So, you know, I wonder if Torontonians, when they hear that, they just repeat exactly and follow along with Tom Teague. But it's something that 30 years, I've never gotten tired of hearing that sound. So every time I hear it, it just brings back a lot of memories, great memories, and puts a smile on my face. And I know it does the same for everyone there in Toronto and really across Canada. It's just a moment. And, no, I can't believe it's been 30 years. But that just means I'm getting older. And I'm thankful to God that I'm still here on the earth to enjoy it.
Well, that call, it certainly it kind of unites our country. We have a text line that's always open. And as soon as we played it in before we had you, people texting in saying that it gives them goosebumps still. They remember it. Every moment that they hear it, they get a chance to reminisce. So, I mean, you're the one at at bat. You're the one at the plate during that moment. I know you're probably asked this a lot, but if you walk us through what's going on in your head, knowing, you know, the stakes of what could happen at that at bat and, you know, rounding the bases, it's just, we just saw the Stanley Cup awarded and we just talked to a Stanley Cup champion earlier in the show. And now we have you, a star-studded day, but it's something that not many people will get to experience. So if you can put those into words, how do you begin?
You want me to put something that's only happened two times in the history of the game into words?
Yeah, that good luck.
good luck. Something that I haven't said, but you know, at that moment, as a athlete, at least for me, and maybe this may be for half the athletes, we want to be in that position. I know I wanted to be in that position with the game on the line because for me, that's when I seem to concentrate the most. And I felt I built up my career and my confidence for moments like that, so it doesn't overwhelm you. Some people get there and they are afraid that, you know, if they fail, people are going to remember them, they're going to hate them, they're going to talk about them. I was just the opposite. I was like, you know, if I'm up at the plate, I want to be at the plate because I'm more nervous sitting on the bench watching the other guys hit because I would much rather be up there. And when I got to the plate, you know, I said, hey, okay, don't worry about the moment. I didn't really seem the moment was too big for me. But it was go up there like Cecil Gasson always told us. You go up there, you have a plan as to what you want to do. And my plan was to go up there and be patient, you know, take until I got a strike, and then relax even more. And when Mitch threw me the fastball down and in, all I thought about was you go back to your training. And I was looking for a breaking ball at the time because he threw me a breaking ball the pitch before and made me look pretty bad on it. So I figured he would come back with it. But because he was a left-hander, and, you know, pardon me for all the left-handers out there, they're not always thinking in their right mind. And he wanted to come back with the fastball, and he threw a fastball down and in. And because I had slowed everything down to a point where when he threw the fastball, all I did was react to it, kept my head down. And when I made contact and saw the ball jump off my bat, you know, when all that leaping was because I didn't see if the ball was going to make it over the fence. I knew I hit it hard enough, but I didn't know if I hit it high enough. And to see Pete Caviglia kind of stop and kind of turn around, and then I knew it was out, and the roar of the crowd, it was deafening. I've never heard anything like that in my life. It has just been that deafening where you couldn't even hear, I mean, nothing. And my thought was, Joe touched all the bases as I was jumping up and down because my mother, she confidently calls me jumping. She says, she calls me a kangaroo. She says, jumping Joe. And that's where all that came from when I had the foundation there in Toronto when I was playing. It was jumping with Joe. And every time we won a championship, I was always jumping. So it was a moment that, you know, I'll never forget. And a lot of Torontonians never forget. And like I tell everybody, I've been milking that home run for 30 years now.
You know, not that I expect the details to be lost because it's such an incredible moment, but like they're still so vivid for you. Remembering the pitch sequence, how you felt, names and faces and reactions and sounds. I'm wondering though about like the gear. Like you mentioned the ball, you mentioned the bat. Do you have keepsakes from that moment? Are there things that are still in a safety deposit box somewhere?
Where do you live so we can come visit?
No, let's not dock them. Let's not have anyone knocking on the door. But Joe, like, what do you keep? And what can you just roll out of bed and look at to remind yourself of these moments? Do you still have keepsakes and memorabilia from that day, from that moment, from that run, from that celebration?
No, I gave them all away. I didn't want them anymore. So I just took them to the trash and dumped all of them.
Well, I'll have to go to that trash dump and find it all myself.
Can we locate the dumpster?
No. Well, right now I'm sitting in my sports room and I'm looking at my jersey right now that I wore that night. So I did keep that. The bat went to the Hall of Fame. They came in and worry about that. They wanted the baseball, too. And John Sullivan, rest his soul. You know, John Sullivan passed away recently, our bullpen catcher. And when the ball hit the back wall, he was warming up, I believe, Mike Timlin. And so he got the ball. And so after the game, he presented it to me. And he said the Hall of Fame guy had come up to him and asked him, "Where's the ball? Where's the ball?" And he goes, "I don't know. I don't know. I don't know where the ball is." But he had already given it to me, or he was saving it to give it to me after the game. And so the Hall of Fame came and asked, and they have my cleats. They have my the baseball bat at the home run. But I have my jersey, and I do have the baseball. And the baseball is very safe right now.
So, bummer.
It will not be going anywhere anytime soon.
Well, I'll know where you'll be next Wednesday. So yeah. I know nobody will be there protecting the – I'm just kidding. But maybe.
Joe's going to be bringing it with him
now.
Yeah,
you might have to bring it.
Joe, so I mentioned off the top, Joe Carter Classic newcomer. Myself and Brent Gunning will be hosting live on Wednesday morning. What should we expect? Maybe Gunner's been there. I haven't, though, as a newcomer. What should I know before I step onto Glen Abbey and experience a Joe Carter Classic for the first time?
Well, if you've never been there, you're in for a treat. the biggest thing, I mean, we've got, I mean, great sponsors with TD Bank, Callaway, DraftKings, AMJ Campbell, Canada Goose. I mean, you're going to see a lot of sponsors there. You're going to see a lot of great athletes. We got, and now that COVID has kind of opened up, you know, the country's opened back up and everything. You've got Dan Marino coming back. Sean Green is going to be playing. Jose Bautista, Devon White, Roger Clemens. Some new people. You got Christian Okoye, the Nigerian Nightmare from the Super Bowl champ Kansas City Chiefs, where I live at. a few more football players, but it is going to be a lot of fun. The one thing I've always done throughout my career is I'm a very tough competitor. Mm. You know, I love to compete. I love to win. But the biggest thing is I love to have fun. And that's what I wanted to surround myself when I had a golf tournament, when we took this 14 years ago, is to have a golf tournament where we're going to have fun. And the guys I try to bring in, the Dion Phaneufs, the Mike Krzyzewski, all these guys, these are people persons. And so when you see these guys or when you talk to them, you know, they are absolutely like me. And so you're going to see a lot of fun and a lot of athletes going around and being very personable. And the thing about these athletes, they love their gifts, but they love to give back. And the whole thing that we're doing this for is to benefit the Children's Aid Foundation there in Toronto.
Rory, you have the pleasure of speaking with Joe Carter, former MLB first baseman, outfielder, two-time World Series champ, and host of the Joe Carter Classic, which we will be at next week live. So how's your golf game? You're hitting the links. What's your dream foursome? We got to get the scouting report on Joe Carter, the golfer.
No, I have been playing a lot of golf. Like you say, I'm very competitive. For my 62nd birthday, I turned my backyard. I had a tennis court back there and basketball court. But now that the kids are out of the house, my wife and I have been an empty nester since really 2011. And so the tennis court was not being used. It was just to blow the leaves. It was to catch all the leaves, and I would just blow them off. I'm saying, you know what, I'm going to do something else. So I put a golf court back there. So I've got a chipping area back there with six holes. I've got the sand trap. We got a fire pit. A little basketball court. So, no, my golf game is very good right now. I've been playing quite a bit, played in a tournament yesterday, and we came in second. We shot, 16 under?
Oh, my God.
We had a playoff for first place, and we end up tying with the – we had chip-offs and everything. It took us, like, another 30 minutes, and we were just exhausted. So we said, we'll just split the prize money. So that was it. But, no, I play a lot of competitive golf, and the guys know. First of all, if you have a golf tournament, you got to be able to play golf.
That's right.
So right now, you know, my handicap's at a 2-3 is where it's at right now. So no, I love to play and I will have some fun.
Okay, so who's like one golfer we should look out for? Not that we'll be like traveling around and following a group around, but Jose Cruz Jr. was at a tournament we were at last year.
He
had like a target on his back. He was super competitive. He was ready to go. Is there someone on the guest list who's really, really good that we should watch out for?
Well, that's the thing. There are a lot of good golfers out there. Damon Allen, the Grey Cup champion. Mm-hmm. I mean, Damon is a very good golfer. Sterling Sharp. You know, Sterling wins everywhere he goes. He's you know, the guy's what, 55 years old or whatever, but he hits the ball 9 miles. So he's always in contention. Let's see, you got Damon, you got Sterling. Oh, and we have a new guy coming in, call him Freddie Mac, Fred McCreary, who played for the Atlanta Falcons and then the New England Patriots, running back. And this is his first year, so I talked to him yesterday, and he's excited, and he is a lefty and plays very good. So we've got some very good golfers out there, and it's going to be a very competitive event. We have the Skins game on Tuesday, and then the regular scramble on Wednesday. So it'll be a chance to take some bragging rights, and hopefully I'll be there at the top.
I don't doubt it. Seems like you just simply could be good at anything you try your hand at. So next Wednesday, the 14th annual Joe Carter Classic that will be live from Glen Abbey from 6 to 10 a.m. on our show. So I know this is obviously the big thing that you come back for Toronto to celebrate, but what are some other of your favorite things when you come back to Toronto? You get an opportunity to meet with people that you haven't seen in a while, the city, the atmosphere, the Blue Jays game, I'm sure would be something up on top of that list. But your time when you do get to come back to Toronto, what do you enjoy most?
Well, I enjoy the people the most. The 7 years I spent there were seven of the best years of my life. And my family loved it there. We had a lot of great friends. We still have a lot of great friends there. And now those friends are, you know, the kids that they're growing up, they're getting married. And you're like, wow, we're really getting old. But coming to Toronto is just, it gives me a renewed sense of what life is all about. You know, I'm walking the streets. And here's the good thing is, I mean, I walk the streets whenever I'm in Toronto, and very rarely do I get recognized anymore. And to me, that's great, because they're going about their business. And one of the first places I always stop when I come to Toronto is Mr. Aaron Barbarian Steakhouse.
Oh,
that
yeah.
is that is the best steak. And living in Kansas, you know, we've got great steaks here. But Barbarian Steakhouse, it compares with the best steaks here in Kansas. So I'll always go by and see that. That's my hot spot is Barbarian Steakhouse. But, you know, to go out and just see the people, just enjoy the weather, because it is such a great time there in Toronto, and I'm always looking forward to getting back there.
Well, we are looking forward to next week. It's such a pleasure to get to chat with you. I hope the weather holds up. I hope you get your good steak, and I know the paparazzi will be out there now. They know where to find you, and they know where to track you down, Joe. Appreciate you coming on this morning. A pleasure to chat, and best of luck next week, and have a blast.
All right. Thank you, guys, and look forward to next week also. We'll see you there.
Perfect. That's Joe Carter, host of the Joe Carter Classic, which again is next week. We'll be doing the show live there on Wednesday from 6 to 10, an extra hour of work for you.
There you go.
Glen Abbey Golf Club. It's his 14th annual Joe Carter Classic, which raises funds for local Toronto charities. It sounds like an absolutely star-studded guest list. Don't even bring your clubs. That would be embarrassing.
This isn't just anyone's golf tournament.
No,
I mean,
those names, I was getting intimidated
an
listening.
Unbelievable list of golfers and athletes that Joe Carter has accrued and wrangled in for a tournament every year. That's pretty cool. I know it's a big deal. I've sort of heard the legend of the Joe Carter Classic in my years, but just seeing the full list of participants, pretty impressive.
Every name he kept listing,
I'm going to have to be ready for, because you get the impromptu interviews.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm going to have to be ready.
So you're going to do so much work on, he's naming NFLers, he's naming soccer players, basketball players, hockey players, Dion Phaneuf.
Mm-hmm.
That got me, like, I haven't heard Dion Phaneuf's name spoken in a decade.
Remember when he popped up?
He's still kicking around?
He pop up, when he officially retired, he was hanging out with the Leafs for a day. And we're like, oh, he's going to work for the Leafs here.
He'll be assistant to the general manager.
They're going to announce him as an employee within a week. And nothing really happened.
Assistant to the regional manager, Dion Phaneuf.
Jason Spezza's assistant.
Anyway, maybe you get a chance to chat with him. I bet you will. Did you say Nazem Kadri's going to be there?
Dion, you think I'll chat with? I think Joe's going to be too busy. Dion?
I think
Nazem?
I think you get Dion.
I think we'll get Kadri.
I think we'll get Kadri.
But again, we did this last year at the other. I don't know if I should be talking. It doesn't matter. Jay's Care.
Yeah, same thing.
But we got there at 6. That's when we do the show. And nobody, like breakfast. We were in the breakfast area, and there wasn't a soul until
me,
like
you and Danielle.
20 minutes left in the show. We did get Jose Cruz Jr. early on because I think we booked him. But it doesn't get too lively until about 9
a.m.
So maybe the last
up for
hour.
This is like I mean, honestly,
understandably
Nick
so.
Taylor 2 weeks ago at the Canadian Open and the Joe Carter Classic, what a time for golf in Canada.
You're telling me.
I think Joe Carter and Nick Taylor could be a fun pairing.
What do you think Gunner's like in his natural habitat, a golf course?
He's going to be booting around there. He's buzzing. Gunsy's going to have the time of his life on Wednesday.
I know. I might have to reel him in.
So, yeah, next week, Justin and Gunner hosting the show together because I'm in Nashville doing some work with Sportsnet for the NHL draft.
How's your prospect research going, by the way?
Really great. You want to know about some prospects?
I do. Give me a factoid.
No, we don't have time.
Okay.
But yes, next week I'll be off the show. I'll be in Nashville doing some stuff with Sportsnet from the draft, but I'll call in and I'll give you the scoop on Broadway.
To transition to the Wake and Rake, if you get any intel, you got to be passing it along.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Insider, isn't that like what people go to jail for?
No.
Yeah.
It's the limits are small, okay?
Yeah, yes.
It's not a big deal.
Whatever. Yeehaw, let's do a Wake and Rake.
Wake up!
Now it's time for Wake and Rake.
You could be raking in the dough with your kind of accuracy.
Show me the money!
With Ailish and Justin.
Okay. Toronto Blue Jays look to build on Kikuchi's dominant performance and a big win. 2-0 win, but a win's a win against Miami Marlins. I think they can certainly put a nice bookend to the series, get a series win with Kevin Gausman on the mound. A noon start time. I'm going Blue Jays money line. I'm just going to trust in the boys to figure it out, to bring it home, to face those Oakland Athletics on a high note. I was going to do Gausman over K's, which is usually my go-to pick.
It is depressed. Only 6.5?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't strike at a rise. So that's 3 chances off the board.
I'm just going Blue Jays money line. Win the damn game.
Can I pivot here?
Yep.
Do you have time? I'm going the strikeouts. I think he's going to get it.
Okay.
We can 7 strikeouts, Kevin Gausman.
It is plus money where I'm seeing it. Like, you can have that pick. I just thought I'd switch it up, but let's go.
I was going to go.
You need a win.
I do. I'm really,
no
really
offense.
Strong. Listen, basketball, or baseball, I'm not, you know, Mr. Handicapper for baseball. Let's just be honest with ourselves here. I do like Zach Gallen on the bump for the Arizona Diamondbacks, -145 against the Milwaukee Brewers in Milwaukee. But I'm going Gausman. Because that's a low line for him. He routinely goes over that number.
Even last time out when he had his bad outing, air quotes, he still got over his K's.
And he's going to want to go deep in the game, and they're going to want him to go deep in the game.
Okay, so Blue Jays to win, Kevin Gausman over strikeouts, and let's pick a parlay piece. So we've got Jegan Scarborough. Hey, this is last minute. Don't worry about it. But I'm in Miami with my son. We're going to see the Jays. Jays on the money line with Gausman pitching. This is Jegan Scarborough with his 5-year-old son, Jaden. Love that.
Ooh, Cody in St. Catharines, rather. He hit the nerfy last night.
I know, you called him out.
His lock is Zach Gallen over 6.5 Ks. Brewers are the 4th worst strikeout team in the league. Struck out 10 times yesterday. Mm. I mean, that's kind of where I was going, which may not be a good thing.
Courier Chris, who's in Niagara Falls, all over our beautiful continent, province. Well, continent too. Morning, Ailish and Justin. It's my Friday. Wow, what a life. For today's Wake and Rake, I'm going under 7.5 runs in Jays and Marlins. I predict Gausman to bounce back from his rough start.
Jeff and Barry is taking the plus 0.5 homers, Joe Carter versus Vladimir Guerrero Jr. at Rogers Center this season. That's just a quip, I believe.
I can't find the line on that one. good morning. It's Corey from Port Hope here for my Wake and Rake pick. I like the Twins money line versus the Red Sox. Sonny Gray on the mound. Well, there you go. That's enough to take him.
I don't want any part of this because I'm struggling.
I want part of it. I want to make it a same game parlay. Under right. Blue Jays to win and Kevin Gausman strikeouts. I mean, it makes perfect sense, does it not?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, Jays money line. Under, it's at 7.5. Yep, we're doing it.
Whatever.
Nobody can score any runs in this team. And Kevin Gausman over strikeouts. When you combine that on a parlay, it comes to plus 550.
Really? I thought it was going to be
dynamite.
I thought that was going to be a struggle.
Let's go.
That under really juiced things up.
It did. All right, folks. What a beautiful parlay piece.
It's called the correlated same game parlay right there.
We had a very fun day today. We got to hear from Al, who's still sitting beside us, and we feel bad. We could have had you on a couple more times. We got two more days, so yeah. We'll get you on. Lots of talk to the Twins. The Twin community is strong, okay? All the Twins this morning on the text line. We had a blast. Today, noon, start time, Kevin Gausman, Sandy Alcantara. That is a 12-10 first pitch. Blue Jays look to wrap up this three-game series with a win.
Got a win here.
Let's get a win. Sportsnet now. Sportsnet 590, the fan is streaming, of course, on sportsnet.ca/590 and the Sportsnet app. It's Baby Friday tomorrow. Enjoy your day.